Welcome to the Huntsville Macintosh Users Group August 2007 business meeting.
Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know, I'm Linda Tinker and I'm the treasurer, and I'm conducting the meeting since it's after 10 o'clock already. And we'll start with officers' reports and the treasurer's report. As of June 30th, we had $4,333.47. I've deposited $75 last month from dues, and we now have $4,408.47. So we're doing fine as far as that goes. That's all I have as treasurer. Keith, do you have anything?
As usual, nobody's asking for anything. Just to see if everybody is trying to.
Well.
No, there's really nothing.
It's up and running?
They're up and running. I'm not sure picking that up tonight. If the computer is actually physically being used or not. But as we all know, Mac Resources moved into the new building.
They're ready.
They're in.
And got an email message from Larry that they're rebuilding the computer, but it's up and running, so no problem.
Okay, good. For old business, yes, Mac Resource has moved. They are open. I called them, and their grand opening might be the 25th. Which is 2 weeks from today. Okay. In that time period, we're going to send, HMUG is going to send a bouquet of flowers for their grand opening. So I just want to tell you, I haven't had them sent. I'm going to wait until it's closer to that time. Because we stopped in there last week, I guess. And they were still stocking shelves and running the bathrooms and the wondrous things like that. Does anybody else have any old business? New business. Ted.
I was talking to Bob a couple weeks ago about the possibility of recognizing St. Stephen's Church with a donation. I don't think we've given them anything for quite a while. They do an awful lot, not particularly, but the facility is made available to us once a month. And so I just thought maybe we should give them $100 or something like that to kind of defray some of their costs.
Okay. It seems to have occurred to me that here, if donated equipment, the sound system. And what you might want to do is ask Rick if there's something they need for the partial call there and see if he's going to go in the back.
Lip actually wrote me as well. They're going to get some cameras and stuff to do filming their services. Mm-hmm. And I want to help them as well get a quick time service to do the podcast.
Well, I will take it upon myself to send him an email and ask him if they have a wish list of several different things so that we could see and then decide among those what we would like to contribute toward or buy, depending upon the price of them. It sounds like some of them might be a little pricey, but we can afford it. Okay, I'll do that. New business. And does anybody else have any new business? I have something that I would like to bring up, and that is the fact that I have sat here at these meetings and seen the secretary attempt to take notes during the flashes and also take notes for the informal meetings. I believe that the secretary should be taking notes during the formal business meeting, like right now. And outside of that, I don't think that there's a need for notes for the flashes. And now we're also doing the podcast so that people, if they're not here or whatever, can listen to the podcast, can get all the details rather than somebody, in effect, to me, ruining their coming to the meeting because they're so intent on taking those notes on the flashes, they're not getting anything out of them themselves.
And the comment on that is, so far our only podcast that we've gotten is that I've been here. And that's when Colin's playing is their event. So if he can get into the habit of somebody in charge of recording a podcast with a meeting, then I'm fully for the concept of not taking notes and classes. Until we have some sort of pattern about taking or recording rather the podcast. It's a little bit of an uncertainty that information on the plate.
What is needed actually to do the podcast?
All that's really needed is a microphone. Right now I'm recording it on my iPod, which is far from ideal. I just ordered for my own use at work a Blue Snowball microphone. It's $100. With that and any laptop, you can record to your whole meeting much more easily than with an iPod. And it's just a matter of sending you the file and the way that it's done and posting. And I can do that even if I'm not.
You can
recording the not used in the heat because of noise?
Well, that certainly is something that's a valid point, because if you're typing away on the computer, you're likely going to hear all those clicks and presses of the keyboard. However, the microphone has a cord, so if it's not physically on the same table or something like that, it's not going to be quite as bad.
How long?
I don't know. I'm going to receive my tomorrow card on Monday, so I'll be able to tell after that.
Yes, sir.
If we find that very functional, should we really not purchase one?
Well, that's a discussion we've actually had. This is now switching actually to old business. It was a discussion we had a couple months ago about purchasing a microphone. You know, at that time, my class was about $150, but I ordered one for $100 right now, so they've gotten really cheap. And so, yeah, I don't really particularly see a reason why I shouldn't order one for my class. Because mine, as I said, I'll keep that at work, and they won't necessarily be available at the time I need.
But you can collect it on an iPod, right?
Yeah, but the,
is
quality is not the best, and this particular microphone that I use with my iPod has a very strange problem. Every other time I use it, my iPod no longer shuts down. It cannot completely shut it down. It means it drains the battery all the way from the bottom. I have to reset or go totally restore the iPod from scratch. That's a lot of work for the other week. And so I'd rather not use that microphone if I can. It's a $50 investment, but you know, as I said, you have to have the iPod. Most of us have PowerBooks or MacBooks, MacBook Pros these days, and they can do a much better job than the iPod.
What do you record it on? What application are you using it on?
Well, the easiest is just to use GarageBand, since that's what I end up generating the podcast on here. But you can use another app that's on the computer. Memory Serve makes something like Voice Recorder or something like that. Voice Annotation. It's under Generate Utilities. that's the exact name earlier I used to try to correct that. Voice over utility. But either way, since everybody pretty much has garage time, you might as well use that.
How many people are actually missing from the
traffic? You'd be surprised. You've got a good number of downloads, both the N4s and 4As rather. So, yes, that is being listened to. I don't know how many people from the club are listening to it, but certainly there are people on the internet that are pulling that down.
That was on June 9th that we had, it was decided at that particular time, because everything really was going to be research of the work to do and what was best for the purchase. So.
I was on the Okay. Do I hear a motion to go ahead and purchase this microphone?
Not yet.
Okay.
Why don't we see if this microphone is what we really want?
Well, I mean, I'm going to think Bob is a nerd now. I'm going to get one. It's fine to do. I'm going to test him as he's been talking, asking to work to record my presentation and on what classes. And you'll see how good it is. But this one has been recommended by many people. It's the model, so it's not a smart pad. It's that out of time of half nine of them. So, but yeah.
So you should be able to record
I'll
back.
I'll be here at the next month meeting and I'll have it with you. So
okay.
We can test it at the next meeting after that. Anyway, since it was decided to have a particular committee make a decision. We have a forum for that committee. Let's table that until we get back to the budget.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll catch up on that. Yeah.
That's so. Good.
Then I have one other piece of business. As you all probably are aware, I have been sending out a lot of emails, which is fine with me. It is no trouble for me to do it. I've got time. I'm retired. I've got time. Doesn't bother me. Okay. I have received positive feedback that people liked to have this information shared. I have received negative feedback in that a couple of people did not like the one that I sent out about the e-cards where Pete had been alerted by Highway about the virus that was in the e-cards. I had some other people who probably did not like the fact that I was sending out, Lippitt asked me to send out a couple of special deals from geeks.com. And I think one of those people was Larry, and that's probably because of conflict of interest, shall we say. And we can understand that. It was suggested by David that instead of my sending out the emails, that people put their information out on the forums that we have with HMO. So I went out to the forums to see what we had. And we do have places where you can put this stuff. In fact, I put two things out there while I was there. One was a scanner that Hal has. And I forget what the other one was, but it was more of a general information. This is fine. That's easy enough to do. But in looking at those forums, I found that people aren't really using the forums. It seems to be easier for people to read an email than it is to bother going out to the forums every day, every week even. In fact, nobody's really using the forums, if you want to be honest about it. We do have the minutes posted out there. And I don't know who reads them. So the group needs to decide. All I'm saying is, I don't mind sending out the email. Somebody needs to decide, other than me, do I continue to send out emails when somebody sends me information? Or do we say, okay, everybody, join up to the forums if you're not already a registered user of the forums, and go out there whenever you want to look at the stuff. So I'm putting that on the floor.
I got a comment on the forums for the Gmail. One's poll, you know, you go out and seek information, or you have a reason to do that, some people do it better. Now it's a push, email, hopefully something. Get your eye, then you can take the next step, you go to the website, you go to whatever. On two other groups I'm involved as an officer on, not technical or computer groups, we did surveys last year. And in both cases, it was almost 4-1, put out some email notification rather than me have to on my own always go to the website XYZ. Some people do it as a matter of practice. I mean, I've got a couple hours to go through. But I'll just tell you that I think for a small group like this, I think email push for search information, even box information, is a good idea. That's my personal opinion.
I can throw it when I put my email, throw something out in number 2, but I don't have to. I don't think anyone, there's working people that have a problem with that. I don't think they should have people that are over there. I don't think that kind of information. I can make it all good for them. But I'd like to see even more of it.
I think what we need to do is do like what Apple does and a lot of others is have a mailing list. You go and subscribe to the mailing list if you want, or you don't go and you don't get any information about it. And you have to go there manually and look for it. So you give them the option that if you want it, you go to the sign up for a mailing list and you're on it. And then if you reply to anything on the mailing list, it goes back and then everybody's on the mailing list gets that answer. I think that's the best way, because I'm on a lot of Apple mailing lists on both the federal side, even the users group side, so I see all the users group questions and everything from all the users groups all over the U.S. Whenever they have questions, I always answer them, too. So.
I
get no problem maintaining a separate mailing list for those people that want to get those types. Now, when I sent out this last week the little email about Pete, that is something that I would expect to send to the entire group, whether you are on that other email list or not. But I can just take my active interested members and then create a subset of that, so to speak, and get rid of anybody that doesn't want to get those kinds of emails from me.
That name member here would like to be on that
right here.
I think I don't
because I tell you right now, I don't mind, because as a matter of fact, if anybody has a question, they can zip it off. I'll try to answer your questions instead of mine. So, and it's not just that. You're always going to have a mailing list, and even though you have a mailing list, you say, here's new things, because even just in the federal side, and I'll just give you a little heads up about how Apple does it. On the federal side, they'll have where people are always asking questions. How do I get my common access card to work with, you know, the mailer, or how do I get it to do this? And everybody will answer back, and you'll see what the question is. So you may have the same problem. You know, somebody has already unanswered it. So you can actually go through there and look for that question and find the answers. And it's very good to find that information. And like how Apple does is Apple will say, oh, we just sent out a new update, go here, blah, blah, blah. So they actually see all these information. So it's very good to have a mailing list and then let those decide what you want to do.
One of the words
that
I'm hearing is we probably ought to listserv, that's just another way of saying this is software that handles mailing lists.
it sounds to me like one of those kind of the same observation I have, that the forums, even though they've been up for over 3 years now, basically not been used. I put a zillion posts in for the software course that I did, but of course that now would be changed website no longer goes in there. So basically the only thing that happens is when I get an email with minutes, I post it. That's pretty much it. You know, so I have a feeling you might be better off to get rid of the forums entirely. If you really believe how many spam bots try to sign up for rights to post to a forum and go to post to it.
I want to bring up a little bit larger level topic. I never go to the website. And I don't know how many people in here are like me who never go there. You know, if it was my personal decision, we wouldn't even have one. I just don't have time to mess around.
Well, I'm telling you, let me put a quick kibosh on the website. If you don't have a newsletter, therefore, the only reason that Apple recognizes us is a user group is that we have a website.
Mm-hmm.
It is required that we have a presence.
Mm-hmm. And what benefit do we get? I'm just asking because I don't know, from having Apple recognize us.
You got to either have a newsletter or a website. That's mm-hmm. one of the biggest
problems. No, the question is, what benefit do we get from being a client?
We get the open Apple, we can use the user group store, we can get software from Apple. There are a lot of things. We get, what's that called? The DVD they put out. The marketing DVD they put out on a regular basis.
What is it? What is he talking about? Remember,
what
is it called?
What you're telling me is no one knows what.
I know what it is, but I just don't know how they call it. It's almost like a quarterly thing about some of the products and updates.
I missed the question. I'm sorry. I just have to
Well, the big question you're trying to brings up is what is it that Apple gives us for being a Mac user?
Well, we do have access to the quarterly box of information, which sometimes has very software. Little listed on their website that says where there is somebody looking for a user group in our area.
Right.
They can look up on that one. Right there.
Think of all the black people that are coming in. It might be a way for them to find us.
And there's a sense that we will not be connected to the Southeast youth group.
The advisory board.
Yeah, they might have a overview. And I guess we would, if they didn't recognize us, we wouldn't be opposed to monthly messages.
That's right. The user group holds in the question by post every month.
Wouldn't have the access to the discount from
the right.
But we could use the Mac name.
I don't see any particular reason why we couldn't do that, but I certainly would hesitate to use any Apple logos and trademarks.
But now the question is, what's the process of having that name? If Marius is doing work, why are you done that big man with Mac with a positive decision?
They will process because they're currently computerized. The current machine that has, that's the 7-year-old computer right now. And, we've already replaced the hard drive on it. But who knows when the motherboard or the power supply goes bad.
I just feel that, except for that linkage, we're getting an actual very little use out of it. And I wouldn't suggest we spend too much money trying to make it really functional. Keep it there to meet the requirements.
Well, the question coming from Joe here is how many hits. Well, we get millions of hits. But the question is, and Bob is going to ask this one, so I might as well answer it before he asks. how many come from people in Huntsville? The answer is there's no way to know. I know they're getting, on average, 10,000 or so hits every day. Let's see here.
I think it's been the main reason.
There's a lot there. Over the last week, we averaged, 13,884 page requests per day. This is a fairly high traffic website. Again, Billy will tell you, and he's right, most of them are people looking for manual pages for the Mac OS X or for Linux.
That's I'll tell you, that's the first thing. I'll tell you that the website, if you go to Google, and I could go and pull it up right now and just go in and just type in, like, a Unix command, and within that first page, HMOS will show up right there on that first page, because for some reason, he's got all the man pages, and everybody in the whole U.S., whenever they hit some
world.
Unix command, hits that
the
website.
Whole world. Anybody that uses a Unix box, if they ask for a Unix command, most of them come to the code server to look it up.
Okay.
How much does that help us as a group? Not at all.
Probably.
However, the only way that a website ever is successful is to have content, and you provide content.
I disagree. Not helping us at all. Gives us some kind of a status, some kind of.
Yeah. Oh, that is.
Somebody's looking for a knowledgeable user group to deal with.
That's right.
Before you lightly dispose of an asset you've built up over a few several years, you consider it. If you if it takes a modest investment, if a Mac Mini or something like that will do the job, then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, well, at the moment, there's no investment required. The current machine is still working. But yeah, I see the same thing. If it were to die, the bottom of the line Mac Mini would be just fine.
Yeah, my feeling is from this discussion that as far as the actual active membership, most of us don't use it. But we do need it for the linkage with Apple and things of that nature.
That's correct. And the point is...
that's the nature of the membership, Bob. Use it.
Yeah. I think it goes back to our discussion of forums. If the membership isn't using the forums, there's nothing I can do about it. I put them up there for the membership to use. They choose not to use it. That's it. Yeah. But if we need to set up a listserv so we can have a mailing list because people are more comfortable mailing each other rather than putting something on the air, that's fine too.
I think that's not a bad idea.
Let's go.
I would use it more, but I keep it in the past.
Well, I understand you. Unfortunately, without a password, anybody can post as you.
That's what my pages
are. But they can certainly reset the password to something new.
I think all he's asking for, he's not asking you to justify the decision. I think all he's asking for is a password.
Don't change it, just what is it?
That I can't tell you. Because the computer has a hash. Okay. So, but you can go in there and change it to whatever you want.
Yeah, individual passwords.
Because, see, you don't need a password to get to the HMUD site.
Right.
And on the forums, you can read the forums
right.
without, but you cannot post it unless you're a registered user.
Right.
So you can work with Marius about getting your password set to something that you
right. want. We can do that before we finish the meeting today. No problem.
Okay. Marius, could you look about that list?
Oh, yeah.
So, and let me know. And
I'm going to look into it. It's basically, there's a standard program that Mac OS X Server also uses. It's just a
what email program are you using?
What program?
I asked her what email program she was using. Most of them allow you to make a group.
Well, sure. But the thing is, what I'm talking about is a mailing list where people can opt in. So if you want to sign up for this mailing list, you go there, type it, and yes, there will be a password, and you're automatically on the list. So anything that's sent to that list goes to everybody that's on the list. So that's how Apple's mailing list works.
Yeah, that's a standard mailing list format. It's nicely managed. You can have it moderated if you want. You can advise it to turn that on
or off. Yeah, but that's sort of the line. If they do that, it's to use a standard mailing list program that pretty much everyone else is using.
What's wrong with the current system?
Well, the current system is what we're discussing. You know, people aren't using the forums. And
Ray, I need to use the forums more, but I never get around to it. But I check email every day. And so if I had something that was on a list server, then I could just make a filter for that and have it all go in. And I could say, oh, there have been 3 HMUG emails today.
Right.
And I can just check that and respond to that.
Yeah, it's faster. I agree. And also, there's one other advantage of a mailing list. It's private. Forums, everything you put up, anybody on the internet can read. I haven't set up the parallel set of forms that the members own. And so that is a big advantage if you want to keep something for ourselves. Keith is raising his hand patiently back
there. The other two things I want to say have already been hopefully in spite of Linda's insistence that she knows that I'm doing what she's doing, she's going to get all of it. And she's going to get posted something that somebody wants. Somebody may get kicked off. In this service situation, there is somebody who has to make payment. It's not nearly as much.
There's very little to be maintained.
Not much to be maintained. And when Suma or Ray or somebody wants to post something, they post it to this service, not to them.
When it goes to listserv, it goes out to everybody on that list.
Yeah, and that's
remember the listserv, your password is not for posting things. Okay? It's for changing your subscription. Okay? So once you're subscribed, it's really no longer an issue.
So you don't have to remember a password.
No, you just send your email to a particular email address and it bounces to everybody on the mailing list.
One of my earlier questions was, is there configuration of the form that works as a listserv. Can that be reconfigured?
If you had this set up, could anybody, if they found out that email address, get to it and post an email message?
Can be configured that only members are allowed to post. You have that choice. And that would be.
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent question. Yes,
it's a good question.
That's been thought, and that answer has been thought of. Yeah,
yes, that problem has been there for many years.
And one of the biggest things about the listserv does too is it does not, even though you might have one thing about it that a lot of people just keep forgetting, that when you're in an email package and you hit to so and 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 so, it shows everybody's email address, everybody. So when he gets ready to archive all these emails, if he does, a listserv will only send out a BCC, which is a background carbon copy, only directly to you, the user. So you don't know who's in that list that's getting it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things, and that's what a listserv does too. But a lot of people just, you know, some people just say two and not even forget about it and just need to get like a list of, you know, 100 users before you even see the email message.
Did anybody here in the 90s belong to Guy Kawasaki's Macintosh, the evangelist, when he was evangelizing and trying to save Apple?
Yeah.
I remember almost like 19,000 something. But the only way I knew that was Guy just happened to tell me, hey, you're good, we're almost at 20,000. Yeah. I had no idea who the other 19,000 people were.
Can we have a motion for Marius to go ahead with this list? Some piece of software so we can get do this?
Yeah, the software is called Mailman. So I'm going to put that up there. We may have to reconfigure the router at Larry's store to let that through.
What kind of product are you talking about?
How much? Three?
Nada.
Nada.
So we don't need an offer.
I have to set the receiver.
Yeah.
It's school starting now.
Are you ready? Want to ask for approval, Madam Treasurer?
Do we want to do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Marius, would you be so kind just to take that if you need any information from me?
I'll have to set that up and make sure that the email system is turned on.
Does anybody else have any new business?
Will we get an email when we get the announcement?
What will happen is it will be posted on the website.
Well,
so you've got to check the website.
On the
Marius, could I not send an email to our...
Oh, absolutely. I'm just kidding.
But also on the website, just to remind you, we've got a calendar of the meetings on the website. And sometimes they have the program listed and sometimes they don't.
You've got a nag, David.
I know, but nagging does not seem to work.
Oh, cool.
And also, we also have the, I want to say the application form for new members.
Right.
We have that so they can go out, fill it out, print it, and they either bring it to a meeting or you give me their check or mail it to our PO box. So it does serve those two purposes.
Whoever manages the listing of programs, I don't want to change the meeting times to all day events. It was a little discouraging. I almost didn't go.
Right.
From all day events to the actual time of 10 to 12.
Yeah.
It wasn't on our 10 to 12, it was said all day.
All day events. Yes.
Again,
David
is the keeper of that.
Well, what about
Now you're going to have to bug him a little harder.
We'll bug David back. Any other new business?
It's a question about potential new business. Speaking of David and what he's interested in. Has anybody heard his main passion seems to be getting additional interest groups or different time of day?
Yep.
Yes.
Has he made any progress on that stuff? Anybody know?
No.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen. Since he's become chairman, manager at the store, his amount of free time has gone down greatly. That's probably one reason why you're not seeing him right now, because he's busy doing his job.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to turn the meeting over to Billy, who's going to give us our presentation for today about Apple TV.
And this is the way it boots up, just to kind of give you a, get this on the scene in here. You kind of hear the sound and everything too, when it boots up. I can't run both. I got the audio for the, they run it through this unit too.
Then just project your voice and make sure
this is the way the Apple TV boots up.
I actually want to do that, but I don't know how.
All right. It's, I don't even, I can't even, yeah, I guess I can. It is picking up from here. I can't believe this. All right. The Apple TV, well, it's not doing it now. You may have to come around to it. But this is it. For those who want to know what the device actually is, it's small. It's a very small device. It's about 7 inches by 7 inches long. It's a little bit bigger than the footprint than the Mac Mini. It allows you to sync to all your computers, as well as see things directly off the internet. You can actually go in here. I could pull up theatrical trailer suit. What this is pulling from the internet through, going out to Apple's website. It'll pull up all the trailers. So it'll take just a little bit of time to go grab everything. Here's a lot of the movies that Apple actually provides out on their website. Let's see if it actually is the cover flow hasn't come up yet. But what we were doing earlier is playing this one. It will show you the picture. Well, hopefully.
Nice,
let's make sure it's even talking. Let me check the setting real quick. It's
the
not answering.
In front.
There
it's
it goes. Yeah, it's supposed to. It's supposed to. Oops, let me go back. I want to go back to the menu. I want to go and make sure what our settings are because it's not. It's acting really weird right now. Actually, no. It's actually, as a matter of fact, it tells you on the back of this. It's the back of it. It's only like you can hook up to your network right here. Yeah, is there? That's probably that's.
I've been able to get about 3 hops outside of
the library. And I see. I can't even get. Let me get to the network. It's getting, it's seeing full signal strength.
Yeah, locally, but I'm talking about router.
Oh, they may be having a problem then with the network. It was working really earlier with no problems, but well, what? Look, getting back to the back of this, what you're seeing here, it's kind of hard to see this. Let me kind of pull it up a little bit, but you got the USB, so it has the ability to show. Eventually, expansion for external devices, what they're assuming is adding more hard drive capability and things like that. But the Ethernet port, the HDMI port, this is for the big screen TVs that have a direct connect. This will take both the video and the audio through one cable. So you don't need all these other cables. But these two cables right here are for the audio side, and these are for the high definition output for those that don't have an HDMI port as well. This is in HD as well. So this device will only talk to an HD type device. And that's the reason why I brought the projector. The projector that I have today is a HD projector. And it will output and show you the highest resolution. And I can show you that real quick. We'll go through the settings. And we were setting it up earlier. We're setting it up for the TV. It is set right now to 720 HD, which is 720 progressive. And it has the ability to do 1080i as well, if you have a 1080i. A 480p, that's a lower resolution as well. You got the 480i, and then you got all the European stuff right here. So they actually, even though they give it, it shows you on here, I don't know why they actually... You know, it makes you go through when you first set it up, and right out of the box it comes up and says, it goes right to the network and it says, you know, set it up, and it tells you English. Well, immediately it shouldn't even show you all the other settings, but it actually does. So really, all the ones that... Yeah, I know. But they should have them set, you know, if you do select for them, it'll just show them their settings, so... But these right here with the American settings right here is the 480i and the 480p. That was the original set for those big sets that were standard television that had component inputs. And they actually didn't make very many. I think they only made like 2 years of them, and then they immediately went to HD. So, and then they started making HD and making that the standard. So, so right now I've got it set on the 720 standard. Networking, it's really easy to set up. In network wireless, say for instance, if I click on it and I go to the wireless side, there it goes. Boy, it's like it's not even, even though it sees the name here, oh, it's because I'm already connected. It shows you the status. if you went into it, right up here at the top, it has the status HMO, it gives its IP number and all that. So it's actually on the network. It can be seen. But the Apple Store, you know, it's set up for screensaver. I've got it setting up to look at the live photo library that I load to here. When it goes to sleep. It's got parental controls. So when you got movies and sets on here, you can set it up for your kids not to play with and all that without entering a code. Repeat music. It's got sound checking. It'll check for levels of audio if it's not at the highest level or low level and kind of balance them out. It kind of does what the iPod does. If you have things that are very low level or high level, it'll kind of make a medium sound to it. So the sound effect, that's the little click, 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 click you hear. And that's the only thing. HDMI brightness, I really can't tell any difference from low to high. I don't know what the difference is. So pairing remotes allows you to take, this is the remote that they send with you, but it also, if you want to make your other remote for your laptop also as an extra remote, you can pair your remote as well to it. So you can actually take that one and make it usable as well. Even though they all look the same, one of the biggest things about it. You can update the software from here. It'll go out to the internet and go grab updates and everything. That's actually the main settings of it. Movies, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the biggest things about this, as you're going to see, is you got iTunes top movies right here. I don't know what kind of, are we getting any good bandwidth yet?
Yes, it picks up, but the bandwidth is a little slow.
Still slow? Mm-hmm. And what this is going to go out to iTunes, hopefully. We'll get out there. Here we go. You got the list of the movies that it sees. These are the top movies that they sell. So, and you can actually go down and choose movies and watch them that they have of the top 10 that they have on their website. They also have the theatrical trailers, the movie trailers that are out at the theaters now. And then it allows you to put movies on here that you load as well. So, I mean, I've got this one right here. Let's start from the beginning. And this one right here, you'll notice real quick, this is in standard definition. It took into standard mode, so it's down into standard mode now. And it knows the difference between the two. It will show standard mode definition. This is the original iPod. Let me kind of see if I can forward through the film a little bit.
I'm going to be famous. Then let us put your aid to fame.
And it allows you to see, you know, your films and everything. You can sync your movies that you buy from iTunes over to it. And you can go and watch them, you know, in your living room. So it's pretty nice. You're not using your computer. But I'll show you in a way that this can use your computer. But you can kind of get the hint that this is the movie side. The television shows, and these are all the shows right here that I've got. And I'll show you. Let me show you the first one. And the reason why I'm going to show you this one is I got this right when iTunes started doing video. When they started doing the video, and the reason why I'm going to show you this is I want you to see the resolution from what it used to look like till they made it where it looks like on the new resolution now. This one right here. Notice that it's real grainy. Because back then, they didn't really hear what the resolution was. I mean, it was so small. It's 3.5 by 240. It's smaller than television. So you look at it, you see the bits are, the words are so grainy, the text is grainy. This is the original set straight from Apple. That's where they were a long time ago. So then when they started getting into the more and more into video and the iTunes, they actually did get better and better at their resolution. And I'll show you now, let me go back, and I'll show you one, some of the newer ones that they have out now. Actually, here's a good one right here. A lot of people ain't seen these, but these are all the sports ads. They're just little commercials from Apple.
Cool.
And these are at the highest resolution. So, but you'll see it's scrunched in even more. Because most of the videos that they sell out there are all standard definition, not high definition. So, and they have to make them that way because they fit on the iPod. That's the main thing that they're doing. That's their market anyway. Even though that this device can do high definition, that's the kind of quality you get. Now I can show you some of more and more of into this. It's actually Jay Leno is. I like Jay Leno. I really like him a lot. But these are some of the funniest stuff that he does. This one right here is also in standard definition. And it knows. I don't know if y'all have ever seen most of these, but
we're down here at the studios, and we rigged a photo booth with a hidden camera to see how far people go for free pictures. And you walk in, the free picture, so it's a new feature. Can I show phone photo?
You can see the resolution looks really good, even though it's standard definition television.
And I will let you know, if you ever look even on an HD TV and you told your TV to only show you in the standard mode, it'll look just like that on an HD TV, squinched up and tall. Because that's the way it looks, just like that, in your screen on an HD device.
Thank you. You have activated the free photography.
He's got some of the neat ones in here, but let's see. I've got another one somewhere that is in, let's see, I think it's Ghost Hunters.
Good night. On Ghost Hunters.
No. Jason and I can't remember which one it was. Might have been in, it's the pictures. The pictures actually do convert because they are in a higher resolution. This is the library. Some of these are pictures that I've taken. But you can kind of see that when I went to San Francisco and stuff, but around the areas. And I've also got different landmark pictures too in here as well. Whoa. But you can take your pictures, add your own music. Your library sets, everything. I mean, it's pretty neat. There's a 72 Alabama State Trooper.
I got a comment on that one. Okay, Alabama State Trooper. But do your own music, right? If you have an iPhone or slideshow or an album that you play, you know, and you just want to, and you select that particular album, you know, and it plays it. If you don't haven't assigned music to it already, it will randomly select a song, you know, or a music track.
Right.
This can have unintended consequences. I was showing some pictures I took of a wedding, some very nice pictures of bride and groom, and it picked out Iron Maiden, "Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter."
But I even got pictures of buildings. You'll see there's the old Alabama Library or theater there that just went by that I had taken some old pictures of once in a while. So, and these are some old, I've even had pictures, I even went back, I couldn't believe that I even had these pictures. So, But yeah, there's a whole bunch of things. Podcasts, music. That's one of the biggest things that this is great for is your music. It will do playlists, shuffles, just like the iPod, just like your computer does. It just reads everything from it. It'll even read back and forth. I've got all different. I like John Denver as well. So to kind of show you. And to keep from burning in your HD and your plasma, they did. You'll see this every about 15 seconds. It'll flip this. It'll move it to a different way, so it's not burning in your screen. So they've actually learned. Apple knows all about the equipment. They're taking very good care of even the equipment you own. So keep from you burning in your screens and stuff like that. So. And you can actually go back and, there's just so much stuff you could do with this.
And Billy, you could have gone to the next song if you wanted to, right?
You can actually go through. It's one thing that's really nice about it. When it's playing, so we go back to play on here. I can actually, on the remote, just as it's playing, go to the next song, and it'll bring it up. Or I could go back to the other song. I probably do somewhere. I don't know where it is, but this is just showing you some of the stuff. If it does change, as you notice that the album cover didn't move. It's just that the song moved off of that. So. And it will eventually move over too. So. So it's actually, they've got a really good device for this. This is a great, let's just shuffle, just like the other, this is your playlist. And this is right here, this is really good too, is I could actually go through what's playing on my music, top iTunes, top videos. I could do music videos, playlists, and all this kind of stuff on the music as well. I can actually go into sources on here, and I can go down to my computer. I've already linked these two up, so they both know each other. iTunes is up. It's going to go read my iTunes set. It's doing it wirelessly here, so it's doing it on the local side. So it's a little bit, should be a lot faster to bring up here.
Billy, just a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the equipment that you've got here, or will it actually show an HD TV if you've got HD TV?
It will show HD TV if you have an HD TV movie. And you can load an HD TV movie to these. I just didn't have any to load at that time, so. But it does show you the HD stuff. So, but it does have that capability. It will let you pull that video straight on over.
Just to comment on that, there's a lot of good video podcasts that are in HD now.
Yeah.
BBC has some wildlife podcasts, National Geographic, all kinds of other stuff. NASA does, Spitzer Space Telescope, other stuff. There's a lot of good stuff out there on podcasts.
I'm hoping that this computer didn't go to sleep.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Actually, it's parental. You can set up parental guidance on here, and one thing is going to make you go through this.
I'm just noticing this administrator is a Billy.
Well, the administrator is this computer. I just call this one administrator.
Oh. Okay.
Because I use this for my primary job, so when they look at. So when they see me on the network, it comes up and sees me as the administrator.
If it was yours, it would be Keith Putnam's beautiful.
Yes.
I just missed that he's pulling it off the computer now.
I'm just telling it to go to the other source. This is taking a long time between the two. I should have actually hooked up put it on a different network, hooked up an Ethernet cable between the two.
So it's the catalog right now?
It's actually taking the catalog. It should be coming up here in a minute, unless this computer...
Oh,
here it is. Now it's going to sleep. This is the sleep mode. When you don't do anything for a while, it goes to sleep, starts playing your photo album just here, and then you'll see it do some really neat stuff and effects.
So,
and it keeps from it burning in again. That's one of the big things that I'll do here tonight.
I know that you're connected. How are you connected? Is it network to the laptop?
Wireless.
It is a network.
Yes.
Not firewires. Can you attach external storage to...
Well, that's in the future. They're supposed to enable the USB port. That's what I was saying earlier. They're supposed to enable the USB port for other device storage, whatever you want to use the USB port.
There's a hack on the net that lets you do it now, but it takes a lot of Unix to work.
I'm noticing the difference of 2 miles before the game.
160. Right. Yeah, that's a big jump. But I'll tell you right now, even with this model, and I'll show you just a bit. I wonder if it's even got it. No, it's still trying to load. Kind of show you what it looks like in the library. There we go. This is what it looks like when you're getting things ready on it. You can look at movies and say, okay, sync my last 5 most recent movies. TV shows, right here. Music. And I can actually go in here, and I've got like 90s. Well, I don't even have this thing. I know I have music. There we go. I just don't have it categorized right. Here's George Harrison stuff that I have. So I can actually say, if I wanted to, go back to the iTunes here and say music, selected, George Harrison is what it's going to do, and then it's going to apply, and then I'm going to sync it. So now what it's going to do now is just going to sit here and run between, you'll see, up here at the top, that it's now syncing all these tracks over to this unit.
You can see over our network, it's dang fast.
Yeah, it's done. So, and you can go back now. Oops, I'll have to change modes to show you what it looks like. Okay, there. Go here. Go back, and go to music now. And go to playlists, George Harrison, track 1. And this is playing off of this unit, not off of this one.
Because it synced, right?
Yeah,
it
couldn't sync up. So that's how fast it syncs if you got a cable on them. And actually, they actually recommend, that's the first thing it tells you in the book, that to get it synced up perfectly, the first time is to sync it with a cable. So, and you'll notice, it's a really nice, you could do... a lot of things with this. I could actually go through here again. Let me go back and change the modes to show you some of the other things. Yeah. There's so many options on that projector. I can actually go in here and go back to photos. And I can actually look and say, okay, I want to sync my photos, and I want to sync all of the picnic photos that we did. Only selected ones here. We're going to do the picnic ones and hit apply. And then you'll watch them, and it's done. So now when you're going to go back to the unit, all the photos are now synced up. Oops. It said it did it. Did you not see that?
It didn't get synced.
Here, I told it to resync it again. Hang on, it should pop them in there in a second. There we go.
It lied to you.
Yeah, I know. But these are the photos.
Yes. Probably. And now it begins to shine. See how I randomly pulled one of his songs?
Yeah, I didn't set that in the slide show.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I got to bring your daughter to the slaughter while I was showing the pictures.
You said
I did not! Well, I might have if I had planned it in advance, but I didn't.
Because you kind of say, I didn't take very many pictures of the picnic. So. But you can kind of see, this is a pretty good little device. I mean, you can sync almost anything to it.
What kind of memory is
that? That one right there is the 80 gig hard drive unit. So. Actually, I don't know how much the exact memory is. Hang on, I wonder if I need to tell you. Let me switch back so you can see what I'm doing as well. No, this is 40 gig unit. This is what it was. I didn't get the 80 gig unit.
There's a 40 and a 160, really.
Yeah, the 40 and 160 now, yeah. That's the one I got right there. It's got the latest software and the serial number. I don't have any videos, so.
Is there a difference?
Is there a
difference just the drive time or
the same function? Yeah, they're all the same function. It's just drive size.
Will that perform as a DVR?
Hmm?
Will that perform as a video recorder?
No. Does not. It's only a player.
You need another device.
Yeah, you need another one, something to record. And I've got, you know, something like ITV or any of them will record video and schedule.
The problem with that is you can't put an ITV into
now. Yeah, you have to. Have it export your stuff first.
Right. You got to plug it into a PC somewhere or a Mac product.
So yeah, you have to plug it into a PC Mac. Yeah.
Have it sync.
But it does podcasting. I don't have any podcasts and things like that over here. So. There's not very much more that you can do with this unit besides what I've showed you already. Yeah. The unit is actually only made to sync from your computer to it, and then you see what's on that unit. So it's already ready. So at nighttime, if you leave iTunes running, and after a while, that device right here will disappear. And it will disappear off of here. It essentially goes to sleep. So when it goes to sleep, it will wake itself back up every 6 hours and resync it again as soon as you tell it to sync. So in every 6 hours, it does a sync to your computer, make sure if something new came in, if you've added, it'll resync if you already have it in there, and to go into a certain playlist. You know, like if I added more songs into George Harrison's, if I added more into that at that point, it will then sync that music because it's already synced up there now. So it will automatically resync itself. So, but that's about all that Apple TV can do. And it's actually made for, you know, your television set. Put it in your room, your den, whatever. So any questions?
Well, how much does it cost?
I think it's $299 and $399. Respectively by the hard drive size, and that's going from 40 to 160.
Educational discounts apply. You can get those. They're like 8% off or something like that. So I use the HDMI connection that Billy mentioned.
Yeah, that's what I do. Audio. When mine's hooked up, what you see, you get the power, the Ethernet, the HDMI. That's all I have.
That's it. Stay here.
I don't have anything else. Anything that's in iTunes or anything. Yeah. All AAC, MP3, the standard forms. These are all MP3s that I have, I think, here. So. All you need is 711 or above to work with the Apple TV. More questions? About it.
Let's give them a hand. Great job, Billy.
Yeah. Not much I can show you. I had to bring in a projector because I wasn't sure if the group's projector was HD compatible, because you really have to have an HD type projection to output this. So that's the reason why I had to go back and forth. So.
Hi everyone.
David's here.
Oh, David, you could go up and run the rest of the meeting.
Time for flashes. Sorry, I'm late.
I have to open the store.
Flashes.
I have a flash.
Mr. Sue.
I will not flash, I promise. I have a flash.
Okay. They're streaking you.
Yes, that's true too. 5-port gigabit switch. That I bought, okay? Normally I hook it to a router, which is hooked to my cable modem. Sometimes the switch acts funny. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There are actually 5 lights for each of the 5 ports. One of the ports is the input from the router, and then it has 4 ports that can go out to different devices. And each one has a light. Sometimes all the lights flash all at once and then go offline. Now, and then all of a sudden I lose network connectivity. And this can happen quickly, or this can work fine for several hours and then all of a sudden happen. And it's just offline. And I'm wondering if it's bad, but is there any other thoughts that occur to anybody?
Three things that I've experienced that cause that. It's a bad router, or switch. It overheats, and it's getting too hot inside, and the flashing is its way of saying you really need to unplug it or lose it. Or I've even had bad network packets take up the processor's time in the switch, and it doesn't know what to do with it, so it just locks up. So. Easiest option. You've purchased it recently.
Yeah.
Try to get it replaced. Say, hey, good problem. Doesn't work. Can I just exchange it for another one or a different brand? That's the easiest, best thing.
Easiest option. Okay.
Any other flashes?
My wife's a teacher, and she has sets. Vowel sounds that she teaches her children first grade. Very few people have cassette players that like to transfer that to CDs. Really like to put it on the computer so it burns CDs. How do you do that? Can you?
You can do it. I remember Keith had a piece of software earlier this year that would take the list of records.
Yeah, you can get the spin doctors that come with those that can set waveforms and name the way you know, name the piece of the recorder and say file and you can connect it to your
as a software side, where is the unit? Physically.
You'll need the...
I might. It's a little frisbee shaped thing.
Well, I was thinking if you just turn the volume on the tape player down really low, probably 25% of what it can do and just take a mono or stereo phone jack to a mono stereo phone jack, plug one end into the headphone port on your tape player, the other end port into the microphone port on your computer, just play directly into there and not have to worry about a microphone.
Yeah.
You start out as low as you can. Don't start out at the highs because you can actually mess it up. So, low volume first, work up from there. Use like Spin Doctor or Audacity.
Actually, Audacity is for GarageBand will read that.
Okay. So if you've got the iLife with GarageBand, you can use that. You can use Audacity or the Roxy or the Spin Doctor in terms of post. It's the headphone jack.
Okay.
Yeah, you get the headphone jack to the headphone jack, both as male. One plugs into the headphone port on the tape player, one plugs into the microphone port on your computer.
It is probably an eighth inch.
Yeah.
It's certainly an eighth inch on the computer.
Yeah.
It is probably an eighth inch on the cassette player. It might be another size if it's got a big headphone jack. You know, then it might be a quarter inch. But most likely it's an eighth inch.
You can always take them to radio
jack. And there you go. And they'll just give you the right cable. And you'll spend whatever, $6.95 or less or something like that.
A lot more than it's worth.
But they'll set you up right.
Recently I've been getting a little notice up on the screen that says, the monitor says, fail to connect to the device. And it says, check the IF cable connection between the device and the computer. Please turn off the device once, then turn on the device again, and try again. This comes up whenever I turn on my printer. It's a Brothers printer. Try turning it off, turning it on again, unplugging it, disconnecting it. The little window stays up there, has a little OK on it, but I can't get it off. Click the OK, nothing happens. So I end up kind of shoving it off to the side, just leaving it there. The printer works, everything works, the packet's a scanner. Everything works, but I just can't get rid of this unless I redo it. Throw away the printer.
The only thing I can think of is you try to reinstall the drivers or something for it.
Have you checked the printer drivers?
Yeah.
I have the brother website.
I have.
That's the first place I've been.
Because it sounds like a driver issue or something, because it's not communicating to it directly. And it could be, you know, I don't know if you said you changed out the Ethernet or the USB cable.
I haven't changed it.
You haven't changed it with another one just to make sure that the current one isn't gotten bad or something. No.
Cables can certainly go bad,
but it works. I mean, the printer's working.
Yeah.
It's
gotta be the software issue.
It's gotta be the software issue.
This past week, I had working with a residential draftsman for my house in the building. He lives up in Tennessee and got a PC program to working on the house. It was real hard for him to send me a PDF file of the latest drawings and band and stuff. So I bought this TurboCAD for the Mac by IMSI Software. Done things dirt cheap because they come out with TurboCAD 3D, you know, this would be some minimum 3D work. Paid less than $40 for it. cheap investment, so he can send me his work and I can look at it and put notes on it and things like that, and get it through Amazon. It's got $20 rebate. That price I quoted includes a $20 rebate. But, you know, get CAD software that's quick and dirty, and actually do if you're a machinist or something, they'll throw free 3D parts on this, and they have a newer version, which is really expensive, which costs about $100 more. As far as I mentioned, it worked, and the worst part, I couldn't get my windows to print on my printer for why I had all the drawing stuff. After spending about an hour with it last night, I finally figured that it was a little different dialog box than anything I'd ever seen on Apple. It would get the window size for what you want to print on your drawing. So, I mentioned it.
That's a good tip.
What's the price on it?
On Amazon, I believe it's $59 free shipping and $20 rebate. And I think there's another site that even has $5 less. I found this at the Apple store up in New York City and was going to buy it. And I said, well, I go back to my hotel and I just check if I can get it cheaper, because it was like $89 at the Apple store. Plus tax, 10% tax up in New York City. And finally, Amazon had it cheaper. So all the way to the Apple store up there is something else. And just walking into it. So.
The one with the big glass cube?
Yeah. It's really tough. That was my first Apple store I'd ever been in. And then I went into one of Harvard, Connecticut. It was nice. It was
What's the name of the software you're
using?
TurboCAD. It's by a company called IMSI, who bought the original company that built the software. I think they're taking over a lot of software packages. Designing this side, but just go to Amazon and do a search on TurboCAD.
I'm sure Larry could order it also.
Speaking of Larry, have we talked about him this morning?
Well, we talked about his story.
We talked about you, though.
Awesome. I knew my ears were burning for some reason. How many of you have been in there? Was that the same? Adam emailed me and gave us some ideas of what we could do for him. Last time I talked to Larry, which was Tuesday, he plans on having, I believe, a consumer opening sometime in Grand opening sometime in late August, and like try to do something for him around that time. I don't know what. Awesome. And so that would be kind of cool. And he's the office doesn't want that at this point.
Where is the new store?
The new store is on University, right past the Prairie Shopping Center, about 10 miles. I get to be really careful. You watch for it. They don't have signs out. You'll very easily overshoot that turn.
It's out there on the building now. They just put it up on Friday.
Okay. Yeah. They're supposed to be getting an actual road sign put out. So.
What did you say from
the yellow talked about sending flowers and cards and stuff?
No, but it's a good idea. Pete's not doing well, and probably it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
And so if you guys exchange joke emails or something like that, you know, include Pete, that's about the only thing he gets to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was driving by his house one day, and he was happy to sit down on the step. And one thing I didn't realize, I know that he's limited in how much activity. Easy as I read, even with oxygen, it doesn't have enough processing to get around much. But the doctors have told me not to go be around people, because it might get a bug. It didn't happen. And, you know, you think for someone who's shut in, you think they're going to have to finish it. But if they can't go somewhere, well, what can you do? Do you try to go in and see if consider, I don't consider any options. I think it would like me to pass if I've got a lot of today. That's got to be pretty tough. I'm afraid of dosing. I'm wheelchair in our church. Maybe you should.
There are too many people who think they will. They have to go to church, and even though they're sick.
But I didn't know if there was something we could do as a group to get them here. I've been with the group long enough to know as well.
As long as I haven't done anything official, the best thing I think we can do is to.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
give a call, send an email, that
kind of thing.
But,
if there's a card passed around
next meeting,
then
everybody can sign it. That would be a good idea. But I think it would be more fun if everybody sent them a card. And I think it would be more fun if individual cards, you know, whether we just, I mean, one's nice, yeah, but if you could get 10, if you could get 20, that's more fun. And especially if they were spread out over several days, and everybody doesn't go home and get the mail Monday, so it gets the pile. But as you get to a store, you pick up a card, just thinking of you, to me, get well's not exactly because, from what we're hearing, he's not going to, but we're thinking of it.
Yeah. So if we can all do something like that.
And we've all been emailed the address.
What's all an
iLife? iLife, that's what I was just showing a while ago up here. I've got this is the new, what you're seeing is iPhoto. I just converted it over. It has what they do now, how it used to do is you just say roll, whatever, and you had a name down here. They now call it events, and they show them now in an event mode. You can take the mouse, one thing that's really nice about it, and scroll over your pictures in an event. So you don't have 1,000 pictures to look through. You only have 3 events, so you know that this is the picture. You go, you keep going through here and you go, oh, it's in this one right here. I can literally click in this, and there's the pictures. That's part of that event. And there's the picture that I have selected.
Did you have to do any kind of hotkey when you scroll over?
You just mouse over.
That's awesome.
that's one of the neatest things I've added for iPhoto.
The mouse
can
really
good
walk
through on iPhoto. Yeah, the demos and everything online are awesome. This is GarageBand.
Magic GarageBand.
Yeah. They have changed the look to it. It is still the same. We can just cancel this one and show you. You can do a create project, open an existing project, a Magic Project. Magic GarageBand is pretty cool. It also has the create new iPod or podcast here. So, and you have the capability of it. This one is the new one, gives you this, and then you can select, like, blues. Let me see if I can turn this up a little bit. You kind of hear a snippet of it. Or you can do a rock. Or jazz. And you say, okay, now I don't want the entire song. Let's audition that. So what it is it's now going to put all the instruments that associate to the jazz. So it creates the instruments and everything for it, which is pretty cool. And then you can now say create the project. So now it's going to take the project and put it into the timeline at that point. And you can play. As soon as it comes over, there it is. And that's what it looks like as it's now created. So, and it.
Who's the
what?
Who's
intended audience.
Oh, actually, it's it could be for anybody, really. Is that you can use this for everybody. Yeah, essentially. And I mean, it's got
GarageBand is meant for people who create music or love music to have a almost studio quality software that allows you to build tracks and add voice to create your own album or track. Or it could just be the next solitaire. You know, you could just sit down and play with the loops and try to make your own music and waste time.
Yeah. And it has, and you know, if you know, you can actually, there's a, let me see if I can find it here.
There are even some churches that use this with their choir.
I just wanted to point out, we're talking about possibility of using this for the transfer set. See, each one of those tracks up there represents a track, and we would have one of those tracks for the recording. Stuff on the set, and you can go in and chop it up and use
it. I think they really misname that. I don't call them tracks personally, I call them channels.
Yeah, it should be a channel because you can have multiple channels that drop in
there.
Yeah.
Right. Because you could go in here and turn each individual track on and off. It has like this one right here on the horns right here. When you hit play, you could see the horns playing and you could hear them. And I can turn the volume on down, and you'll never hear them. Or you
can.
Yep. You can actually, there's a lot of things. I could take it and pan it more to the right, in the right speaker, or in the left speaker.
It really is pretty powerful for what you're paying to get that entire package. So.
And I could take it. In this area, this is one of the big things here, is I can do track volume, turn track volume on and off, and then go in here and adjust the track volumes on these things. Track pans, so I can pan it up and down.
You could add points and have it fade from left to right.
I can have it, you know, go from there to there.
All right, Mr. President, when are we having a GarageBand demo?
I think our calendar is pretty booked for the rest of the
year. It's booked, I think, all the way up.
What's the next one?
I don't know.
Right, it's not on
here. The comment was from Roger Hunter about the calendar, about being some fixing. They didn't have any information about the meetings this month, and also it appears that we have all day events special.
Yeah, this one said an all-day event.
Okay.
This meeting and the next meeting is on it. This was just all day.
With no problem. Any revision of the program?
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, it's an all-day event.
Interesting. Well, if you want to stay here all day, more power to you.
This is the next round.
This is what I call
yes,
the
I work, okay?
Just mentioned while I work, she's my
favorite. Actually, as a matter of fact, I can tell you about it. I haven't had time to load it. I'm going to load it today. They've added a lot of, it's almost easier just to show you. Let's go back to the Apple's website. Apple's website has got an awesome demo of this. Let me kind of just, this is the only one really you need to see. Everything else has kind of stayed the same. This is their spreadsheet. They've now added a spreadsheet here. These guys have really talked about flexible canvases. It's one of the biggest things about it.
Of course, they had to use
have faxes, photos, notes, and more. With its flexible, media-rich canvas, you can create a story and bring your members to life. A flexible, media-rich canvas, part of the brand new Numbers.
I'm going to tell you, it's, I don't know if you got the email that was sent out. I think when I got it, it didn't have the links in there right, but when I sent it out, I know it had the links in there because I saw the preview the way it should have been. But it has the guy, there was a guy who's been using Excel, he said forever. He's been using 1.0 of Excel. And he's been using it for over 20 years, and he says one of the neatest things that he talks about, and that's this, there's one feature. Let me see if it's even in here.
Billy, it's a little late.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah. I think this is the one right here.
Working with your data is easier than ever before with Intelligence.
Look down here in the bottom left, what they're showing. Right here.
With over 150 billion functions,
what it shows up down here takes an Excel spreadsheet. You have to go out to a cell that's not used off your screen somewhere to calculate these kind of things to get that information where they give you that information in that window, which you don't have to use a cell for. It does it in real time.
Okay.
Do what?
Yeah, reads and writes Excel.
Yes, it'll read and write Excel.
All right. Demo for next year.
Lunch?